Hey, Tacoma, John Doherty here with Radio Tacoma's Climate Talk, the place where we talk about everything climate, and always respectfully and mostly optimistically. So I hear you ask, how can I be optimistic in the face of what seems to be our ongoing war as a species with our environment? Well, here's how I see it. We know what the problem is. The problem is primarily greenhouse gas emissions. We know what the solution is. Stop emitting greenhouse gases. So knowing the problem and knowing the solution, I'm optimistic that we can get there. One of the places we burn a bunch of fossil fuels is in our buildings, our homes, our commercial buildings, our government buildings, and so on. So how big a load in terms of overall fossil fuel emissions can we pin on our buildings? About 1/4 of our greenhouse gas emissions right here in Tacoma and Pierce County are produced from our homes and businesses and industries. Because of our relatively cheap electricity, a significant number of our buildings were heated electrically, a significant amount, not all to be sure, because our electricity is hydro and therefore clean. So here's a fun activity. Find out how much your utilities rely upon fossil fuels to create the electricity you use. You'll be surprised. We have a long way to go, even here in good old hydro Washington. PSA, for instance, their electricity is about 2/3 gas and coal, and the rest is hydro. So not clean, not good. Buildings here in Washington State represent the most rapidly growing source of greenhouse gas emissions. Statewide, since 1990, emissions have grown 10% overall. Building emissions in that same time have increased by 50%, more than any other source in the state. The energy and what we like to call the built environment sector represents 55% of Pierce County's greenhouse gas emissions. Now I'm talking about the county, not just the city or the state in general. Residential homes count for 19%, commercial buildings 14%, and industrial buildings count for 22%. So what steps are being taken to make our homes and other buildings, both present and future, fossil fuel free, and who's working in that direction and who's opposing it? Well, first off, in December 2019, the city of Tacoma declared a climate emergency through a resolution. It's 40509 for those of you who are wonky enough to look it up. One thing that jurisdictions like the city and the county can do right away if they want to is ensure that their future construction is greenhouse gas light and that they can, when they choose to, retrofit things like gas heat with heat pumps. They don't need to change building codes to do that kind of stuff. They don't have to provide incentives. They can just decide to do it. And government makes up a very large part of greenhouse gas potential emissions in any jurisdiction. So I gotta say, government agencies, let's get on the ball and start reducing our greenhouse gas emissions. City of Tacoma is a significant greenhouse gas emission source within the city. They produce about 28% of total greenhouse gas emissions here in Tacoma. So in April, they passed an ordinance requiring the city manager to require all new city-owned buildings and major renovations of existing city buildings within the city of Tacoma to exclude natural gas and other fossil fuel energy sources for heating, lighting, and power. And I gotta say, way to go. You're setting the standard. You're being a model of what can be done looking into the future. And just as an aside, I gotta say also that probably by using electricity for heat and other sources in new construction, the city is probably going to save money and therefore the taxpayers' money over time. So that's the city buildings and infrastructure. Looking further into the future, the same ordinance requires the city manager to complete a study of the impact of requiring non-fossil fuel sourced heating, lighting, and power in new commercial and residential developments in the city. And the city manager has to have that report back by January 1, 2023. So a while to work it out and a while to deal with the folks who are going to be saying no to that. So in case you didn't notice, this is a really big deal. This ordinance is pointing in the direction of requiring new construction in Tacoma to not have methane for a heat source for cooking, for heating water, and so on. It's a very positive step and a step that's guaranteed to bring up strident opposition from the methane gas industry and related. Later on in the program, I'm going to talk about electing the right people, but the members of the city council are going to come under incredible pressure regarding this kind of ordinance from the methane industry. And so pay attention to who you're voting for. Make sure that you're voting for people who are climate aware on this new city council. Okay, let's look at Pierce County. Pierce County has got a plan. They call it the Sustainability 2030 Plan. I gotta say, it's aspirational, and they're not claiming that it's any other way. It's aspirational in the sense that they're pointing to the future and saying, well, here's a bunch of stuff we could, should, can do. So what are some of the things related directly to buildings that they're talking about in the sustainability plan? Well, first off, they're calling to review development code for opportunities to increase building energy efficiency and to expand the use of clean and renewable energy and increase the installation of green infrastructure. Okay, sounds nice, sounds great, sounds like a good idea. Once again, it's aspirational, so we'll see. There are other municipalities, jurisdictions around Puget Sound who are taking a similar approach, i.e. they're looking at it, they're studying it, so on and so forth. We all know that you can look at and study things to death. It's up to us as citizens to make sure we get elected officials who are going to take action and do the right thing. Shoreline is asking for a ordinance to be developed that will require that new residential and industrial construction be greenhouse gas free, as is the city of Seattle. Okay, so that's a bit of a look at what's going on. Summary, some people taking specific steps like City of Tacoma saying that they are going to be going forward with greenhouse gas-free buildings and taking a hard look at extending that to codes in the city. Pierce County making noise like they would like to do that, but nothing firm yet. Okay, so who is opposed? Well, the people who are going to be financially impacted are opposed, as you might imagine. So one of those organizations is Master Builders Association of Pierce County. They represent the construction industry in Pierce County. Of course, they're a large organization, go far beyond Pierce County, but that's who we're talking about right now. They are a primary opponent of moving ahead with building codes that recognize the impact of greenhouse gas emissions from our housing. They operate under the guise of advocating for what they call attainable housing. They argue against just about every possible environmental improvement in our housing. You don't have to dig very deep to understand that what they're really concerned about is their own profitability, not the future of the county, of homeowners, of the environment. And never mind about greenhouse gas emissions. The Master Builders Association of Pierce County can be relied upon to oppose any energy infrastructure regulation that is proposed. Their desire would be to install energy systems in homes that result in the highest level of profits for themselves and builders. And in fairness, under our system, that's what they're supposed to do, right? The pollution is not going to affect them. The global warming is not going to affect them for a long time. Maybe they can think that it's not going to affect them directly. They can take the profits and let other people worry about the pollution and the climate change stemming from global warming. What we see with having ordinances that require homes and industries to stop emitting greenhouse gases is the classic conflict. There are elements within society, and sometimes that probably includes everyone, where short-term financial benefit is given more precedence than long-term concern for the environment. Thus, organizations like the Master Builders Association are concerned about profitability over perhaps the next few years, see any ordinance that would potentially interfere with those profits as undesirable, and therefore they bring to bear their very significant financial and political clout to keep those kinds of ordinances from becoming law. At the same time, they're more than happy to give lip service to caring about the environment and the community and minimizing their concern for their own profits. One thing I can offer, the Master Builders Association publishes a listing of costs associated with regulation, meeting energy codes, getting permits, and so on, and points to those as increasing the cost of houses and thus making them less attainable. Absent in this conversation and this seeming concern about house prices, keeping house prices low, is any comment about the profitability of those firms. So in their minds, it's a simple formula. Profits good, environmental and other kinds of public goods, regulations regarding those bad. What is the answer? Well, as they say, good question. Ordinary citizens and generally speaking, environmentally aware groups do not have the money or the clout that organizations like the Master Builders Association has. One of the leverage points is election of councils that are empowered to set environmental rules, and that's leverage points for us as citizens and voters. And that's where we could come in with some leverage. Who we elect locally here in the city of Tacoma and the county of Pierce has a significant impact on whether construction going forward will have reduced greenhouse gases or if they will just be business as usual. There is a city council election this fall, so one simple thing we can all do who have a vote in that election is to make sure we understand what our candidates' attitudes are towards reducing fossil fuel emissions in construction, housing, and industry as we go forward, as well as plenty of other things, of course, but I gotta say that if we as a species don't get climate change right, then other issues are going to fade into insignificance. Okay, I'm going to finish up just talking about the coming election in 2022. It's not really going to matter how many good ideas we have, how many marches we make, how many letters to Congress we write, if climate-denying candidates gain a majority in either the House or the Senate, getting climate legislation passed after that date is going to be unlikely to impossible. Right now, we're just unlikely. Razor-thin margins in both the House and the Senate, a Biden administration that doesn't seem quite clear about our climate future and what we should do about it. A Democratic senator who's made millions off of fossil fuels who doesn't really seem to care that much about the climate future. This could be the good old days if we lose either the House or the Senate. Can we really afford to wait more years before digging in and actually doing something real about climate change in this country? I don't think so. Scientists right now are telling us that we need to have our fossil fuel emissions by 2030 to have any chance of keeping climate change and global warming below 1.5 degrees centigrade increase since the start of the Industrial Revolution. We're at 1.1 or 1.2 degrees right now, and with greenhouse gas emissions that we're doing right now, that temperature is increasing moment by moment. So what if we don't make that 1.5 degrees centigrade mark? Well, at that point, we are at risk of some runaway situations like permafrost melting. Permafrost contains twice as much carbon as is already in the atmosphere, not to mention boatloads of methane. Once those things start releasing into the atmosphere at an accelerated rate because of the warming, it will become a self-reinforcing loop, and there will be nothing that we can do to stop it. Of course, it will play itself out eventually, let's say maybe in 1,000 years. But in the meantime, it will be out of our control. There is a myth, and I feel it in myself sometimes, that when we get serious about climate change, well, we'll be able to fix it. Not necessarily so. Reinforcing loops like the melting permafrost will be beyond the ability of us as human beings to intervene. Once again, we will just be along for the ride. At the outset, I said I was mostly optimistic. So how do I square what I just said with that optimism? Well, knowing about the problem, we know what the solution is, and we have a solution. I'm optimistic that there will be enough of us who raise our voices enough that catastrophe will be averted. So that's it for today. I'd love to hear from you. You can email me at John, J-O-H-N, at ccltacoma.org. Let me know what you think. Some topic you'd like to hear, a possible interview. Love to hear from you. The CCL in there is Citizens Climate Lobby. I'm an activist with Citizens Climate Lobby. It's a good outfit. Check it out. You might find something there of value. If not CCL, look for another organization or organizations. Join in and join your voice with like-minded people. This is a reminder also that 101.9's KTAH has an archive of this and all other climate talks along with the other programs that are produced locally here. Just do a search for KTAH 101.9 in Tacoma. Go to the website, look under programming, and you'll find an archive of all of these old programs. Listen to them on your timeline. Go back and check them out later on. It's a great resource. Okay, well, that's it. Here's me once again reminding you to live like the mountain is out. Take care now.